There was a man named Bill Baker, and at the age of 76, he married a woman named Edna Harvey. Edna was his granddaughter's husband's mother. Okay? That's okay. But here's where the confusion came in. Baker's granddaughter Lynn then said her mother-in-law is now also her step-grandmother. And her grandfather also became her stepfather-in-law. Her mom is now her sister-in-law also, and her brother is now her nephew. But even crazier than that, by that marriage of her husband's grandfather to her grandmother, she is married to her uncle, and technically, any of her children will also be her cousins. Now, you might think that that's a complicated family, but I want to introduce you today to an even more complicated family, and that is the family of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons and at least one daughter that we know of, and the son that we're focusing on is Joseph. In fact, I've been asked, Pastor, how can we preach on Joseph from now till fall? And the answer is really easy. The story of Joseph's life begins in chapter 37 of Genesis and doesn't end until chapter 50. So thank God I'm not preaching that all in 1 week or two, right? I heard an amen. Let me tell you a little bit about who Jacob and the family are. If you probably remember that Jacob worked for a man named Laban. And Laban had daughters. And Laban had one particular daughter. Her name was Rachel. And Jacob really had an eye for Rachel. And Laban said he would allow her to marry him if he worked for him for 7 years. So he worked 7 years. Now, in their bridal customs, of course, her face would have been covered. And he married who he thought was Rachel. And when that veil came off, it wasn't Rachel, it was her sister Leah. And so what a dilemma, right? So guess what he did? He worked 7 more years, and then he was allowed to marry Rachel. Now you would say, he had more than one wife? Yes, he did. Back then, that was not uncommon, certainly not God's best plan, but that's exactly what happened in a lot of situations. And so the man had two wives. According to Scripture, I already told you he had 12 sons and at least one daughter, but look at their mamas, okay? Not only did he have children through Leah and through Rachel, he also had children through their handmaidens, Bilhah and Zilpah, okay? So, if you look at the sons of Jacob, there is Reuben, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, all born through Leah. And then there was Dan and Naphtali, born through Bilhah, and Gad and Asher from Zilpah, and then Issachar and Zebulun from Leah, and then Joseph, whose mother was the favored wife, Rachel. And then they had one more child, and that was Benjamin, also from Rachel. Now remember, Rachel was the favored wife. What do you think that meant for Joseph? He was the favored child, right? Now maybe some of you were the favored child in your family. I wasn't. But maybe some of you were, and you know what that was like. Maybe you know how it felt, or how your sisters or your brothers or you know how you were treated because you were that favored person. So Joseph had a lot of things going his way. He had the favored mom. The Bible also describes him as being very handsome, and he was his father's favorite. But in that family, he really wasn't favored among the rest of the family. Remember, there were multiple wives. Some of those wives They weren't on the favored list, right? He had these brothers, and there was a great deal of jealousy and dissension. The other thing that happened is Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. And so this favored mom became the legacy that nobody could ever live up to. There was grief and loss associated with that. And so the animosity and the hatred from his brothers peaked. And remember, they decided that they were going to kill him. And then after they kind of decided not to kill him, they got the idea that they were going to sell him into slavery. And over again, Joseph experienced one difficult circumstance after another. Everything seemed unfair. He was faced with frequent discouragements, a lot of difficulty. Is that anybody like you? You sometimes think, God, this just doesn't seem fair. Or I'm not being fairly treated. Or something's wrong here. This doesn't make sense to me. We're going to learn from Joseph that in spite of all of those things that happened to him, he remained faithful. He trusted God even when it was unfair. He trusted God even when he could not see what God was doing. You see, God was with Joseph. Let me show you. It says there in Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph and continued to show his kindness to him. So the commander of the prison guards began to like Joseph. The commander of the guards put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. Joseph was their leader, but he still did the same work as they did. The commander of the guards trusted Joseph with everything that was in the prison. This happened, here's the phrase, because the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord helped Joseph to be successful in everything that he did. You see, God had a divine purpose for everything that happened to Joseph. And yes, from our viewpoint, and for certainly from his, it must have seemed like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Where are you, God? This isn't fair. One problem after another. Come on. I need something better to happen, right? Maybe you're there. Maybe you're thinking, oh, you know what? I just can't even catch a break. You know, one problem is followed by another problem. And it seems unfair. But remember, God was with Joseph. Whatever happened to Joseph, God was not absent. He was there, and he was fulfilling his divine purpose through Joseph's life. And I have a suspicion that whatever you face, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, I know that God is always there with you no matter what's happening, but I have a suspicion that sometimes you wonder where he is. I have a suspicion that sometimes you might say, God, what are you doing, right? Because that's who we are. But we will learn from Joseph's life how to continue to trust God. We'll learn from his example to always do the right thing anyhow. And that is so important. Trusting God because he is always, he has all things under control. He knows more than we do, thank God. And we can trust him. Throughout this sermon series, we're going to see his faithfulness and how he used the circumstances of Joseph's life, how Joseph's family was ultimately restored, and how God used Joseph to preserve the entire nation of Israel. He preserved the Israelite body of people in order. That's the genealogy of our Savior Jesus. The key verse, and I believe this is a key to this passage of the passages on him, and that is this. In the end, Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And it is my prayer and my desire that as we enter into this series and as we examine our own dysfunction, our own discouragement, and our own difficulties, that ultimately we will learn to see that God, that we might think it's intended for harm, but God intends it for good, to accomplish what is being done for his purpose in our lives. And so, I have two questions to close. First one is, will you commit to being here? I know it's summer. I know it's busy. I know our lives are crazy nuts. Okay, I know all of that, okay? So is mine, all right? But let me tell you something. Do your best to commit to being in this series. And on those occasions, if you can't be here, I can promise you that the sermons will be up on our website that week at some point. When Viv gets it on, it'll be there, and you can listen. Don't say, I don't need to go to church, because you miss so much more. Don't say, I don't need to go to church, I can listen online. Listen online if you have to, and I understand that, okay? We take vacations, we have all kinds of things, okay? And then the last thing is this. Will you invite a friend? Today, y'all have one of these in your bulletin. I can tell you this. If you invite somebody to this sermon series, personally invite, there's about an 84% chance that that relative or friend or neighbor will come. And I can guarantee you this also. If you don't invite that friend, neighbor, or relative, there is 100% chance that they will not come. Chew on that for a little while, all right? So let me pray. Father, we do love you. And we know that you have sovereign control over all things in our lives. And Lord, we do face difficulties and dysfunction and disappointments. And yes, sometimes we think life is just unfair. And it feels that way. It really does sometimes. Yet teach us not only how to deal with the dysfunction and the disappointments and the difficulty, but Lord, help us to see your greater purpose and to trust you in all things. Lord, help us to be committed to this and help us to invite somebody. And Lord, I pray that you would put the name of somebody on each of our hearts and Lord, that we would obediently use that invite to invite them to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.